Man must labor for the sake of his own survival. For the vast majority of mankind, this is a universal truth that we must all live by. It does not matter what form of labor is being done, for we must all expend some level of effort in order to survive, and even more so if we desire to live in comfort. It is the ungranted wish of many to be free from the tyranny of nature and, instead, live in a palace of comfort and pleasure. Sadly, this wish remains unfulfilled for many who can only fantasize of such things and must instead be provided with a purpose and meaning in order to find the strength to perform their day-to-day labors. But what if this was not the case? What if man had easy access to comfort and cheap pleasure? What if man had lost his purpose and meaning? If such things had indeed come to pass, then this would be quite troubling. For it would mean that man had begun to become entrapped by the warm embrace of the god Belphegor. Belphegor, the god of stagnation. Belphegor, the god of decadence. Belphegor, the god of temptation. She is the god of addictions and wasted potential. She is the patron whom indulges the addict, the lazy, the decadent, and the unambitious. Out of the six gods, Belphegor is the most indolent, the most slothful, and the most inactive. She does not radiate power like Yahweh or Baden, nor does she destroy energy and life like Satan. Instead, she is very lethargic, preferring to nestle in her lair of comfort and indulge in one easy pleasure after the other. Belphegor does not possess any ambition. Such a concept is quite foreign to her. She is not motivated to create anything grand, like Yahweh, nor does she possess the spite in order to desire the destruction of creation, like Satan. Her sole motivation is to fulfill her immediate desires. Belphegor is decadent, but she is not a hedonist looking to break more and more sacred taboos in order to feel a rush of excitement. That would require too much effort on her part for her to be interested in pursuing such filth. Rather, she prefers the things that can provide her a numbing sense of pleasure. This does not just simply end with the various material addictions that can provide a source of physical pleasure, but also extends to the actions that rewards the mind with gratification. Belphegor does not judge others. She does not hold others to a standard, which makes her incapable of holding others accountable for their actions. She is always willing to accept others and to offer them assistance. Such traits might make her seem like a benevolent angel, but sadly her love is poison. Belphegor is a selfish caretaker, for she does not help others for their benefit, but rather her actions exist to serve only herself. What compels her to assist others is a desire to feel virtuous about herself. She does not help others by addressing the core issues that plagues them. That would require time and effort on her part. Rather, she smothers the pain with the same numbing pleasure that she herself is addicted to. This numbing pleasure is what makes Belphegor's love poisonous, for it weakens the individual's ability to confront the pain that is emitting from their fundamental problem, which has not been addressed. The addictive pleasure allows the individual to ignore the ills that are ailing him, allowing his ills to fester until they become lethal to him if he fails to break free from Belphegor's influence and address the issues that are plaguing him. Another darker alternative is for the individual to become increasingly more dependent on the pleasure, that his ability to face any sort of hardship has been completely deteriorated. This is a slide towards Satan, where the ever-growing dependence on the numbing pleasure completely hollows out the individual's ability to live. Where once they are forced to face the harshness of life or are simply too raw now to support the act of living, they will find it tempting to take their own life. Attempting to enlighten Belphegor about the destructiveness of her help is an effort in futility, for her objective was to feel virtuous and not to actually help the individual in any meaningful way. She will deny any truth that would threaten her sense of virtue and come to despise the messenger. Sadly, many individuals are more than eager to embrace Belphegor when given the opportunity to do so, when faced by the temptation that her influence projects. It is not wrong to be allured by easy pleasures that one can enjoy without thinking. Life can indeed be hard, and we do require rest in order to continue facing the challenges that life throws at us. It is in these moments of weakness that Belphegor's influence can feel like a powerful force, a constant tugging, attempting to pull us from our duties in order to enjoy the things that we find addictive. This is what makes Belphegor a god, whose outward appearance is seductive, but whose innards are completely rotten. Belphegor's domains are defined by the four primary character traits that make up Belphegor's personality, which are slavishness, being cooperative, being idealistic, and being nurturing. One cannot understand the realms without understanding how these traits interact with one another and their opposites. For the realms that reside within the idealistic axis, they are comfortable realms that are devoid of danger, where nature provides for the needs of those that reside there, and offers them a plentiful bounty of pleasurable delights. To many, these realms could be considered a paradise, a place that is devoid of danger or challenge, where one can enjoy their decadence free of consequence. However, these are very stagnant realms, where not much occurs since they are just so safe and stale. Of course, this changes as one gets further away from Belphegor and moves closer to the violent, competitive Abaddon, as the realms begin to take on his character traits, depending on their distance from him. The realms that reside on the cooperative axis are realms where life could be described as being in a state that parasitically feeds off each other, both physically and mentally, where life within Jophiel's domain is so weak that cooperation is required in order to survive for mutual benefit. The life within Belphegor's domain only seeks cooperation in order to either attain pleasure or gratification. It is a spectrum between Belphegor's selfishness and Jophiel's sincerity. In order to explain the realms that reside on the slavish axis, I must first explain what I mean by slavishness. To me, slavishness is the complete rejection of any responsibility or sovereignty, to be a slave of one's desires and impulses. The realms that reside on the slavish axis are realms that are in various states of decay, ranging from Belphegor's stagnation to the total erasure of Satan. These are realms that have no sovereignty and thus fall into a state of disrepair, where they are either in a state of complete collapse or someone is able to take responsibility for the realm and pull it back upwards. The realms that reside within the nurturing axis are various kinds of environments that nurture life, where life within Belphegor's domain is in a state of stagnation and comfort, whereas one moves away from Belphegor and towards Yahweh, the realms transform from an environment of stagnation and comfort to one that allows the individual to improve themselves, since Yahweh takes responsibility for his subjects, unlike Belphegor. Interacting with Belphegor and attempting to understand her was quite difficult for me, since I fell prey to one form of decadence that I was initially blinded to, and that was possessing a sense of superiority. My sense of superiority had provided me with a mental state of comfort, which prevented me from seeing that I had developed a screen addiction which retarded me from performing the tasks that I needed to accomplish. I would interact with social media with the goal of inflicting suffering against others that I viewed with hostility for the purpose of feeling pleasure. My life felt stagnant and dull unless it was fed with a steady diet of interactions through the internet. It was while I was in this wretched state that I had first attempted to interact with Belphegor. I had viewed her with contempt and thought of her as an anxious caretaker with arrogance. I had thought to myself that I was above her influence since at the time I was inspired by Abaddon. However, this was just pure decadent behavior on my part, since my aspiration for Abaddon allowed me to ignore my own serious flaws. It is quite comically ironic that I had understood correctly that Belphegor was like a swan that entrapped its victims unaware, only for me to unwarily succumb to the same trap. Luckily, thanks to a more in-depth understanding of Belphegor's decadence, allowed me to recognize my own decadence. From there, I underwent a serious phase of self-reflection to ask myself what I objectively had actually managed to accomplish. From there, I began to work on correcting my character flaws, although this was quite difficult since it felt like Belphegor had inserted her fingers into my brain in order to pull me back to my previous state. With this new understanding, and after being humbled a fair bit, I went to confront Belphegor a second time. If I had to describe Belphegor's domain in a single word, then that word would be stifling, for I had entered a dense forest whose trees had to support each other in order to not fall over due to them being unable to support their own weight. The canopy was so thick that it blotted out the sunlight, as if there was an arched ceiling over me. The moss that grew on the branches provided illumination that was an ever-changing spectrum of vibrant colors. Nor was it just a distracting moss that grew here, There was quite a wide array of fungi and fruit, which whetted the appetite with the potential intoxicating flavors that they may have potentially contained. The air was warm, damp, and heavy. It was laced with various sweet and spicy scents that made me feel quite drowsy. This made it quite difficult to travel as the floor was a marsh with barely any solid ground that could be used to stand upon. Constantly pulling at my feet as I forced myself with great determination and focus to push on forward. Resisting the urge to rest and to sink into the comforting embrace of the earth. Ignoring the various temptations attempting to distract me from my goal. Eventually I did succeed in reaching Belphegor. I found Belphegor resting on a couch that was partially sunken into the marsh. She had the appearance of a very attractive young woman with long black hair and eyes that were dead. As if she did not care for much. She was wearing loose gray sweats that showed off her midriff, and was wearing purple sandals. She was using a small electronic device to consume content while she pleasured herself with her other hand. It goes without saying that she had quite a sleazy appearance. She certainly was not repulsive, quite the opposite in fact. Between the lovely curvature of her body and the deep hunger in her eyes that yearned for more pleasure, was a combination that had a powerful effect over me. Why shouldn't I embrace her, sink into the warmth of her flesh, become addicted by her intoxicating breath, be free of consequence and responsibility? Of course, giving in to temptation would mean I would be giving up the opportunity to become something more grand. Every second I spent being decadent would be a second not spent improving myself or attempting to complete some grand ambition. Would I condemn myself to be a slave of decadence, or would I master it and become something so much more? The choice was obvious, although it was not always easy to maintain. For Belphegor is a lovely creature indeed. Belphegor is very unique out of the six gods, for despite not having the passion to exert her influence over existence, she is perhaps the most influential god in existence, for the simple fact that many are initially attracted to her nature. Whereas with most gods, there requires a certain amount of effort to walk their paths, with Belphegor it is more like resisting the urge to lay down and rest. The path of Belphegor is the desire to no longer attempt to endure the hardships of life, or to attempt to achieve greatness, and to instead simply succumb to your biological desires and just relax. Why live a life of pain when one can enjoy a life of comfort? Why create a world of conflict and suffering when we can simply take care of each other and create a world that does not know these things? Who are those to judge us for how we live? Only cruel and evil men would force people to suffer for their so-called ambitions and glory. If it were not for them, then humanity would leisure in peaceful harmony. Why should we tolerate a world where the people are forced to make difficult decisions? We should all be able to enjoy a life where we are not being emotionally or physically distressed. Only by reducing suffering and allowing everyone to live their life as they deem fit, can we create a utopia of peace and comfort. Such are the words of those that follow Belphegor. At a surface glance, it might seem that the desire to create a world that is free of suffering would be quite a noble goal to pursue. Sadly, that noble intention is twisted by those that fall under Belphegor's influence. The core issue that the followers of Belphegor have is their inability to take any agency for themselves or to hold others accountable for their actions. This lack of agency is the rot at the core that consumes them from within. It is their inability to deny themselves their biological temptations or to endure anything that is difficult or requires effort. If one looks at their only positive trait, which is their desire to nurture others, it quickly becomes apparent that this desire only exists to satiate their own egos. Since the followers of Belphegor are unable to generate the will to do anything difficult, and their resistance to temptation is weak, they are accused by those that follow the other gods, except Satan, as being lazy and decadent, which they are. The followers of Belphegor obviously do not enjoy being looked down upon by the others, and so spend the barest of effort to assist others in a manner where they can remain oblivious whether their efforts are actually having a positive effect or not, because the goal is to not actually help others, but rather claim that they have made the world a better place, so that they can both feel and act virtuous when others accuse them of being lazy and decadent. In fact, in their attempt to help others, their efforts might cause the issue to worsen, since they are not actually taking responsibility for the problem, but instead they are making the problem bearable, like a painkiller. Worse still, however, is that they will not wish to believe that their efforts are making the problem worse and will simply be in denial of the truth. Belphegor is a unique god, since she is the only one besides Satan where I cannot find anything positive to learn from her. The only lessons that can be learned from Belphegor are lessons on what sort of behavior should be avoided. I would not call Belphegor and her followers evil, but rather selfish and lazy. Some people might say that someone who is lazy and selfish is evil, but we must keep in mind that it is far easier to be unburdened by responsibility and duty than to maintain those virtues. It is acceptable to enjoy the decadence of Belphegor from time to time. There is nothing wrong in partaking in the pleasures of life. The act of doing so does not make you a follower of Belphegor. It is when you become addicted to Belphegor's decadence that you become her follower. As I have found out for myself, it is not always apparent when one becomes addicted to decadence, since decadence can take many different forms. However, there are certain symptoms of addiction to decadence that one can watch out for. The symptoms of addiction are low motivation, failing to accomplish a task and instead engaging in the addictive behavior, low energy, and failure to perform daily required tasks. To spot these symptoms requires a certain amount of self-reflection, since we might create mental loopholes to excuse our addictions. More often than not, we require the help of others to make us aware of our addictions. Another reason why I don't consider the followers of Belphegor evil is because they are not dangerous. They are quite harmless. The only times they can be dangerous is if they have been entrusted with any responsibility that is beyond them, which, in that case, we should not be surprised if it leads to catastrophe. The addicts who would steal and murder to feed their addiction fall within Satan's domain and do not represent Belphegor's nature. It should not be underestimated the tremendous amount of influence that Belphegor has when our material conditions are good. This is for the simple reason that there is no reason for us not to have fun when there is no immediate consequences to deter us. Decadence is a rot that gradually consumes us from within and weakens our resolve. It is the reason why I describe Belphegor as a sucking quagmire, for you might not notice that you're being pulled into the mud, and by the time that you do notice, it becomes more difficult to pull yourself out the deeper that you find yourself being pulled in. The reason why we get pulled into the mud is because the mud represents those simple things that we spend time enjoying that requires very little effort on our part. Or, in other words, easy comforts. That is not to say that we should not partake in the enjoyable activities of life, but rather we should have the discipline to hold off on such activities when there is something that must be accomplished first. When one begins to partake in the pleasures of life, despite knowing that there is something of greater importance that must be done, then that is a sign that they have become enslaved addicts. Suffering and discipline are required in order to rise above our desires and not be enslaved by them. The suffering comes from the hollowness of the decadence, the sheer emptiness of it all. It provides us the motivation in order to seek a way to break free from it. Discipline is needed in order to keep our lives balanced between what we want to do and what we need to do. It is fine to indulge in the finer things in life, but we should not become addicted and be enslaved by our vices. Perhaps the most critical failure of the followers of Belphegor is their inability to provide the society a sufficient answer to the meaning of life or its purpose. Since they do not aspire to achieve anything grand, nor do they have the will to expend a sufficient amount of effort to accomplish anything difficult, the only answer to life's purpose that they can provide is the pursuit of material comforts and wealth. It might not be initially apparent why just the pursuit of material wealth makes for a poor end goal to life's purpose and meaning, on both the individual and societal level. After all, most of us do desire some level of material wealth. There are three problems when your society is just motivated by the pursuit of material wealth. The first problem is that there is no real limit to the amount of material wealth an individual can desire. This might seem hard to believe, since initially we might desire to acquire something that is difficult for us to obtain outright, and may take us years to finally obtain to our great delight. However, what then? Yes, we have acquired the object of our desires, and are hopefully finding joy from having it in our possession, but eventually it will become normalized to us, and we will lose that joyful high that we initially felt, and are so confronted with the question, what now? Well, if the only answer your society can provide you is the pursuit of more material wealth, you will be forced to pursue an ever-increasing amount of wealth, since that wealth represents your life's meaning and purpose. This will work as long as the society can provide its members an ever-increasing amount of material wealth for its members to obtain. Which leads us to our second problem, that being that there are no guarantees that the society will always be able to provide its members the ever-growing amount of material wealth that is required to fulfill their desires. When the society does enter a long-term economic decline, it does not just simply lead to an economic crisis, but since the society has based its purpose and meaning to the pursuit of material wealth, then that society will also be dealing with a purpose and meaning crisis as its members begin to mentally break down since they can't fulfill their life's purpose and meaning. This is made worse by the third problem, which is as a consequence of the society making the pursuit of material wealth its life's purpose and meaning, means that the society can only use that to measure whether its members are successful or not. So, if the society does enter an economic decline and its members can no longer successfully acquire more material wealth, the society can only view and treat them as failures for failing to achieve their life's purpose and meaning. This makes for a destructive combination, since not only are the members of the society having a mental breakdown since they can no longer fulfill their life's purpose and meaning, but also they are effectively being kicked while they are down by the larger society, causing its members to become immensely resentful, where they will begin to seek the destruction of the society. This is why the pursuit of material wealth is a poor goal for life's purpose and meaning. The answer to life's purpose and meaning must be something that can be obtained when times are both good and bad, on both the societal and individual level. It is for these flaws that the responsibility for the society falls on the followers of Yahweh to ensure that the society does not fall apart due to the irresponsibility of the followers of Belphegor. They are not an outright danger to the society, but they cannot be trusted to carry the weight of society. It is the duty of the followers of Yahweh to keep the followers of Belphegor accountable for their actions and provide guidance so that their efforts may lead to a positive outcome. Of course, this only works if they have taken any responsibility for themselves. For those who have not, we must take responsibility for them, and as a consequence have natural authority over them, until they have reclaimed sovereignty over themselves. The ultimate goal is to have the followers of Belphegor take responsibility for themselves, so that they can be entrusted to be the caretakers of the society, in order to help those who have been struck down by hardship and tragedy. It is my hope that they can create a sanctuary for the weary, a place for respite. We should also remain vigilant and firm against those that have given in to their destructive impulses, and